Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, Dallas Greenway will be closing out our Easter series, The Good Story, and we'll be talking about how the Easter story is good news for everyone. We'll look at how God sent Jesus because he loves everyone in John 3:16 through 18, and how we've been given the gift to share the good news of Jesus. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 that we are ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors for Christ. We hope you enjoy this message.
All right, we are in this series, The Good Story, right? And we started last week, so if you were not with us, we missed you. You missed it. And this is the end. It's just a short two-weeker. So the reason is because it's Easter, right? And so we're talking about the Easter story, the good story, but really like the best story, right? And the good news, but really it's the best news. And last week, whether you were with us or not, we started talking about the resurrection. And kind of the question that I left you guys with was, what impact today? I know that Jesus died on the cross almost 2,000 years ago, but the question last week was, what impact today does Christ's life, death, and resurrection have on you? Like right now, when you're in this room, when you're singing songs to him, that there's hopefully some sort of impact that's happening there. Hopefully you realize you're not just singing songs. We're not just reading from a book, right? But that there's a reason that we're doing it, and that the whole reason is because of Jesus, because of his life, death, and resurrection. Maybe you had time to think about, what does all of that mean for your days in school? Or what does it mean for your family? Or what does it mean when you're alone and you're the only one with your thoughts going through your head, right? Of negativity, or just thoughts of like depression or anxiety, just getting really anxious. What impact does Christ have in every moment of your life? Hopefully you had some time to think about that this week. If not, you've got plenty of time this next week, especially if you're on spring break, right? So take even just like 10 minutes. Here's what I always tell people who are struggling with, what does it look like to just spend time with God? Literally, just the first little bit, just put a 10-minute clock on, right? Like grab your phone or your a timer of some sort in your house. Just like put 10 minutes on, say, hey, I'm going to devote these next 10 minutes to this thing, and just do it, right? Hopefully you get time to spend with God and thinking through those thoughts this week. Today, though, we are continuing on in this series, still talking about the Easter story. I mentioned it earlier, but today is actually the first day of Palm Sunday, right? So you'll see. We'll talk about this in a little bit. But I've got Hosanna. Yes, we're already saying it. JT is up here. That's not to me, right? We need a donkey. I'm sure we could find one in this room. But we've got the palm branches. Steve, you like that? We've got the palm branches. We'll talk about Palm Sunday in just a minute. These may or may not be palm branches, all right? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. First, here's what I kind of want to ask you guys about, is when we talk about Easter and we talk about Jesus and the impact that he's had in our lives, for me personally, it's hard not to think about that impact in light of like the people who first told me about Jesus. Right? It's hard for me to think about Jesus without thinking about some of the first people in my life to really tell me the good news, to tell me about this good story. And when I think about those people, and really for me it wasn't one person, but it was a couple of youth pastors that I can point to. It was a particular football coach I can point to. It was some friends in my neighborhood. Actually, it was Drew Johnson's family who really were some of the first people to tell us about Jesus and tell us about the gospel. I have to put it in a category of like a bunch of people, right? But when I think about them, then I can't help but think about like, well, so who first told them? And who first told those people? And who first told those people? I think about the whole chain, or really the whole like family tree that leads us back to, I mean, ultimately to Jesus, right? And the reality is for us as Christians that if you are a son or a daughter of God, you are a part of this kingdom family tree. I mean, you guys know what a family tree is, right? Has anybody ever done one for your actual family, a family tree? You've kind of traced it back as far, huh? Your family's dead? Well, a lot of ours is too. We can relate. Who's done a family tree that you feel like goes back pretty far? In first service, we did one. The guy said that it went back 12 generations to the 1600s. Like, that is far back, all right? Have you done it pretty far, Jenny Ann? From the Mayflower, Your relatives are? So literally that goes back to the 1400s, right? 1492, is that date correct? Steve, you had one that went pretty far back? The 1700s. That is crazy, guys. All right, so I don't know how far you guys go back in your family tree. I really want to do one. My grandfather did one that just goes back a couple generations, because really I'm not too far removed, apparently, from my European ancestors, right? So I'd really like to do one and trace it. I think it's cool. I'd even like to do, and I know it's kind of weird, what do they ask for, like your spit or your blood or your hair, right? It's just really weird. I mean, Justine got me on this thanks to Bloody Bill or whatever his name was, right? But I'd like to do one of the things that like tells you, hey, what percentage of your ancestry is like from this continent and country and all this kind of stuff. I think that'd be cool. And to see if there's anybody that I'm related to that's like alive right now that I don't realize it, right? Your grandma's a billionaire? A million. Your grandmother isn't. Okay, I don't understand that. We know where she is. She's alive. Amelia Earhart. All right, so getting back to what we're talking about. So I can't help but think about family trees and the kingdom family tree and really the chain that goes back through of who told who the gospel, who told who about Jesus, all the way to where now you and I, if you are part of the family of God, are one of those little leaves on that kingdom family tree. Isn't that cool? And if you go back through the whole thing, right, eventually you get to Jesus. I mean, because he's a part of our whole family, but really you could keep going back through the tree to where ultimately at the kind of beginning of the tree, right, has to be like Adam and Eve, okay? Adam and Eve and Moses is included in the tree, Abraham, his wife Sarah, all these great men and women throughout the Bible that we read about, they're all a part of our family tree. The disciples, Paul, who wrote, you know, most of the New Testament, all these missionaries that we hear stories about, some of these missionaries who even gave their lives for the sake of the gospel, like all of these great people are a part of our family tree. And really, you can even take it and say, even people today who are doing great things for the kingdom are a part of our family tree. The athletes or the people in politics who we see that glorify God, we're all a part of this family tree together. So here's kind of my first question for us this morning is, who is it? I kind of listed off a group of people that I'm connected to, like they're the branches from their leaves kind of come and intersect at my leaf, right? Who is it for you that first told you about Jesus? Who is the person or who's the people? This is just something not for you to talk about out loud, but for you to think about just on your own. Who is it that told you about Jesus? And who are you most closely connected with on the kingdom family tree, right? Who are you most connected with? Think about that for a second. And then here's maybe the follow-up question to that is, who is somebody that you've told about the gospel? Who is somebody that you've shared Christ with, that you've shared the good news with, and that they trusted in Jesus? And maybe even in that, you can ask, like, when was the last time that you actually shared who Jesus was with anybody? And I don't ask that to convict you. I had to ask that of myself. I mean, and you would maybe say, well, you do that every week. Like, that's your job, right? And I try to remove myself from that because, yes, that's true. But at the same time, I don't always have, like, one-on-one conversations about, hey, you don't yet believe in Jesus, but here's who I believe He is. I had to go back 8 months to really remember the last time that I had a conversation like that. And it was with my cousin. It was with some actual blood family on my blood family tree, right? But that's a long time. And I don't know when the last time is for you, but do you realize that that's actually something that we're called to do with our whole lives? Something we're called to do. It's the good news. And maybe you're like, well, I'm not even sure if I got into a conversation that I would know what to say. Well, think about what the people who told you about Jesus, think about what they said. And really, in its most basic form, it's scripture that you're all familiar with. Some of the most famous verses in the Bible. If you want to turn your Bibles real quick to John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Right, guys? Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him, be brought into this kingdom family. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So God loved the world so much that he showed the world his love by sending Jesus to die. This is the good news. This is the Easter story. That Jesus lived, died a death that we all deserved, and resurrected, showing, proving victory over sin and death. And now it is on us to continue the family tree. See, right now, your leaf may just stop at you. Maybe you haven't really told many people about Christ, or you're not even sure that anybody you've ever told has actually trusted in him. The idea is that God would now use us and our little leaf selves on that family tree to share this good news. Unfortunately, though, many people in our generations, both my generation as a millennial and your generation as Gen Z, no longer see a need to share your faith. I'm not sure exactly why that is. I do know that other religions, if you're Jewish or Muslim, they don't necessarily make it their goal to invite people into what they believe. In fact, Jews mostly believe that they're Jewish because of who they are by birth, their culture, where they're from, where they can trace back their family tree to. Most other religions don't believe in inviting other people to believe the same thing that they do, but that is something at the core of ours. Something at the core. Something that goes all the way back to, what did Jesus do? He sent the disciples to go out and share the good news, to invite them to experience this eternal life that we just read about in John 3:16. If you don't believe me that this is actually something that we're called to do, something that actually we are charged to do as Christians, it's at the core of who we are, it's at the core of our faith, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Man, that's some good news. If you're a part of the family tree, if you are a brother or sister of Christ, you are a new creation. Maybe one of the things you should ask yourself is, do you feel like a new creation? Do you have a sense that you have new desires? Do you have a sense that, okay, there is actually a purpose and a reason for me living? We're about to read what part of that is right now. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So a couple of titles that you've already been given if you are in Christ. One, you're a new creation. You have new desires. You have access to a new life in Christ. Two, you are a minister of reconciliation. What does that mean? You are a part of this family tree. You and I now get to go and share who Jesus is, that in some way, shape, or form, God would use us to start tugging at the hearts of the people around us. That God would use us to tell other people about how Jesus took away our sin and that he can do the same thing for them, how Jesus has made a way for us to be in relationship with God and how he can do the same thing for them. We are ministers of reconciliation, telling people about how they could be made right with God. So you're a new creation. You're a minister of reconciliation, but that's not where it stops. Verse 19 says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses or their sins against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. We now have been given this call, right? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, the third title that we're given in here. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Jesus, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So, if you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, if you are part of this family tree, here's what you've been called to. Here's, whether you realize it or not, your mission, your purpose, your reason for living. Not only do our generation struggle with, well, I don't know if I should share my faith because it might offend somebody. Or it might make me look bad. It might cause me to lose friends. Not only do we struggle with that, but we also struggle with purpose. You're seeing a lack of purpose all around us. It's one of the reasons that people are more depressed and more anxious than ever before. They're taking their lives at a higher rate than in past generations. One of the reasons is because we don't feel like we exist for any reason. That's a lie. That's a flat-out lie. God, we just read from Paul, God, through Paul, he's given us a purpose. It's to expand his kingdom. It's to grow the family tree. Part of glorifying God and enjoying him is telling others about that joy and about who God is and inviting them to experience it with us. What does it mean to be his ambassador, like we read about in here? It means that everywhere you go, what's an ambassador to another country do? Everywhere they go, they speak on behalf of the country. They hold meetings on behalf of the country. Everything they do, they are representing the country, right? And so for us, we are ambassadors for Christ. That everywhere we go, the things that we say, the things that we do, we are representing him to the world around us. So let me ask a couple questions. Then we're actually going to talk about Palm Sunday for a few minutes. The first one is maybe the most basic, but also might be the one that you need the most honesty on, and it's this. Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Not your family. I'm not asking what your parents have done or your brother or sister or your grandma or grandpa. Have you personally felt the tug of God grasping your heart to the point that you can't say no, you can't turn back, you can only submit? God, I'm yours. I don't understand it. I don't have all the answers. I don't know all about who you are, but there is something real here that I can't say no to. Have you had that experience? Have you trusted Christ? And are you now a new creation, somebody who is regularly giving your own desires up so that God would be glorified and that his desires would trump yours? I'm not asking if you get it perfect all the time, but are you on that journey? Have you trusted in Christ? If you haven't, maybe today's the day. Maybe you've felt this tug for a while as you talk about it in small groups or as you listen to music in here or as you hear your family talk about it. Whatever it is, maybe you felt God tugging. If that's you, before you leave today, I want you to talk to your small group leader about it. Or I want you to come and find me or Rachel or Matt Dinsky. Come and let's have a conversation because God's doing something. It's a miracle that's happening within you. If you have trusted in Christ, then how are you doing living as a minister of reconciliation? How are you doing as an ambassador for Christ? How are you doing in sharing the gospel both in how you live and what you say? How are you doing with that? How are you doing with experiencing the eternal life that is written about all throughout the scriptures, but we looked at in John 3:16 today? Do you feel like you're tasting eternal life? Because here's the deal. Yes, that means that one day you will get to spend eternity in heaven. But for the here and now, it means that life is changed, that you are a new creation right now, that you have new meaning, you have new purpose, that you have access to the peace found in Jesus, peace that surpasses all understanding. You have access to joy in him, that your sins, you no longer have to be defined by your sins. You are defined by him. There's so much that this life means, but are you experiencing eternal life right now? If you know, I've put my trust and faith in Jesus, but I'm just not tasting it. Well, then what's maybe in the way? What are you holding more tightly to than you are to Christ? When I asked earlier about the time that you spend with him reflecting on what we talk about on Sunday mornings, are you doing any of that? Or are you just going about your days like every other person on this earth? God's called us to taste eternal life right now. And yet many of us miss out on it. I actually think there's a good picture in Palm Sunday that we celebrate today. Let's read in Mark chapter 11. We're going to read the first 11 verses there, and then we're going to close. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt or a donkey on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and we'll send it back here immediately.'" So Jesus says, "Hey, go find a donkey. If anybody asks you, just say God needs it," right? That's kind of, I don't know if that's funny to you, but it's funny to me. Verse 4, "And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?'" They're like stealing it, basically, right? I mean, we're just borrowing it for the Lord. Go to verse 6. And they told them what Jesus had said, so God needs it, right? And they let them go. All right, that sounds good to me. It's just so weird, so funny. Verse 7, "And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread their leafy branches that they had cut from the fields." So now we're getting Jesus, he's riding this donkey into Jerusalem, right? Riding it into the city. And just like JT already started up earlier, here's what the people do. They run, they hear that Jesus is coming, right? We get this from other gospels, and they strip the palm trees of their branches, right? So I have these maybe palm tree branches, maybe not, right? But they strip all these palm trees. I mean, imagine a bunch of palm tree nubs just around Jerusalem, right? And these people have them, and they come, and they're welcoming Jesus in. Why? Some of them didn't even know who he was. Some of them had only heard rumors, but they all kind of got this sense that here is the guy that might save us. Not from our sins, but more from like the Romans, the rulers of the time. That this is the guy who will make things right politically. That this is the guy who will lead our army. This is the king that we've been waiting for. And they obviously were wrong, we find out later. But at least for a moment, they seem to treat Jesus like the king that he truly was. And so they take these branches and they wave them at him as he's coming in. They lay them before him on the ground. They lay their coats on him. And just like JT was saying, verse 9, "And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' And he," Jesus, "entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Jesus, at least for a moment, seems to be given the place he deserves, given the praise he deserves. That's why we celebrate Palm Sunday. It's about this triumphal entry. It's about the beginning of Holy Week, that in just a few days after that, he would go to the cross. And while this maybe sounds like a pretty awesome time, they call it the triumphal entry, and it would have been pretty awesome to be there. There's a downside to this as well. Because just a few days later, many of the people who were in that crowd saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," many of those same people were in the same crowd when Jesus was crucified on the cross. Many of those same people who on Sunday were praising him, on Friday were spitting on him, were cursing him, were calling for him to be crucified. Most brutal death. And I mean, we ask, like, how does that happen? Like, how do they get so mixed up? How can people in less than a week be swayed to immediately, like, they were praising this dude, now they want to kill him? And yet that's what happens in our hearts all the time, whether you know it or not. A lot of us come on Sundays and we give God their proper place on Sunday morning. And we worship, we lift our hands, we clap, we listen to the message, we participate in our small groups. We know, like, if I were to give you a test, you would know all the right answers. And then the rest of the week, you might as well be the crowd who was at the cross. Well, I know what God says, but this is what my friends are doing. I know what God says, but like if I say this online, nobody's really going to know that it was me anyway, right? I know what God says. I know he's called me to, but I'm way too busy. Like, you don't understand all the things that I have on my plate. I got to win the World Cup, right? The Fortnite World Cup. Like, I know what he says, but the rest of the week we turn our backs on him and we might as well be the people at the cross cursing, spitting on him. I know what he says, but this feels so good right now. How can it be wrong? I know what he says, but when I participate in the sin, it doesn't really matter because he's already forgiven me, right? That's not the life that God's called you to. It's not the life he's called me to. And yet we, myself included, we do it all the time. So let me kind of ask you one last question, and we'll pray. We'll do small groups. How do you want your life to be characterized? Do you want your life to look more like the crowd when they were welcoming Jesus into the city, giving him, even if they didn't understand what they were doing, giving him his proper place? Or do you want to continue living like the crowd at the cross who has forsaken him, at least for a time? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for Holy Week that reminds us, sets our minds and our hearts, at least for 1 week every year, on who you are and the life and death and resurrection of your son, Jesus. God, help us to, in our day-to-day lives, look more like the people who were welcoming Jesus with open arms, with songs of praise, putting them, at least for a time, in the proper place. May that be said of our whole lives. Help us to avoid the temptation to look more like people at the cross, spitting, cursing, cheering for his death. God, may our lives reflect to the world as ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors of you, where our lives reflect all of who you are and a lot less of who we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.